information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
We care.
Here to border
it shows.
On
the law.
The country.
You will remember nine you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
To my mind, to kill in war is not a whit better than to commit ordinary murder. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 148 of MediaMonarchy.com. It's November 6, 2009. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster for the site and show. All your news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups, and all the breaking news. The 11-9 flashback attack. Of course, Fort Hood, Guy Fawkes Day, and a soldier shooting spree. Swine flu updates, strange Ukraine and scarcity claims, climate control and carbon indulgences, Obamasiah year one, geopolitics, war games, withdrawal, and the watch list, plus dumping the dollar, the mark of the beast, and so much more. It's November 6th, 2009, episode 148 of MediaMonarchy.com.
Lovers must always draw the line.
Yes. Live version of November spawned a monster from the one and only Morrissey. Quite appropriate here, my friends, for the first November episode of MediaMonarchy.com. Let me formally welcome you. My name is James M. Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for all the news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups being shuffled around before your very eyes like a crooked shell game on a city street corner. And only by becoming more informed will you be better armed to make better decisions about your life. Forewarned is forearmed, as they say. Coming to you live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And, of course, the wonderful growing list of affiliates that carry Media Monarchy. Some of them live, some of them rebroadcast, but again, thanks to all of them, such as ZeroPointRadio.com, blasting out worldwide there, but of course in Casper, Wyoming on 92.3 FM and 1500 AM, it's 11 AM Mountain Time there. Over on the East Coast, it's 1 PM on the worldwide home of free speech, RevereRadio.net. Thanks to our friends at Free Radio Olympia, 98.5 FROlympia.org in Olympia, Washington, rebroadcasting Media Monarchy Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 93.9 KBFR in Boulder, Colorado, BoulderFreeRadio.com, 87.9 in Canton, Georgia, thanks to Ground Zero Radio, StickAM.com/Ground Zero, 104.1 FM in Berkeley, California, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net. And again, thanks to our newest affiliate, OneSkyRadio.com. Blasting out on 90.7 FM, KWMD in Kisilov, Alaska. And of course, thanks to my man Glenn here in Portland, Oregon, for making dial-up, downloadable, smaller versions of the show, CascadiaPublicRadio.org. So a quick mention, as long as we're talking about the lower-than-normal quality for dial-up and email attachment, again, double, triple redundancies, making sure that the information is always coming out, is always available. One site might be down, but the other five will be up. So speaking of having a lower quality version available, recently reconnected with my man, Jeff. He's the one who got me started here at the Portland Radio Authority. First one to bring me into the studio, show me the gear, get me started. And then he was off. He is the man, one of the men, not sure exactly, behind radio23.org. We are collaborating. He has set it all up. I just have to launch it and put it into action. That will be a new, higher quality version of Media Monarchy. Going to do it in 192. So, what this means for the average listener, you can continue to get the regular 56K version that I put out for everybody. However, if all goes well, and if everything works, and these shows will be the maiden voyage for this, there'll be a new high-quality 192K Media Monarchy MP3 version, especially for affiliates, to grab that higher-quality version for rebroadcast. So, if you need to know more, of course, you can hit me up with an email, mediamonarchy@gmail.com. And again, as long as we're talking about this, what about all the other ways you can get in touch and spread the word and say a word? Facebook.com/Media Monarchy, MySpace.com/Media Monarchy, Twitter.com/Media Monarchy, YouTube.com/Media Monarchy, and emails at Yahoo and at Gmail. also on Skype, and Instant Messenger signed in right now. And of course, iTunes, radioforall.net, and archive.org are the ways that you can get the show. So now that we got that business taken care of, again, it's November 6th, 2009. Made a Seaside episode 147 just a little bit ago. Went over all the things we won't be able to cram into this episode. And of course, we always have open the Google News page to see what's going on. And of course, the main story that we're going to hit in just a few minutes is, of course, the Fort Hood massacre. Another curious mass shooting event. November spawned a monster indeed. But if we glance at Google News right now, we see that the death toll rises to 13 in the Fort Hood shootings. The jobless rate has topped 10% for the first time in 26 years. And of course, all the rabble-rabble from your Congress critters. Two wings on the same bird that flies in the same direction. We're nonpartisan here. Trying to break down the left-right. We also see that the Virginia Supreme Court upholds power plan line, and I believe that will affect my home state of West Virginia. Ron Paul undecided on a 2012 presidential run. Berlin buzzing as anniversary festivities get underway. A little more on that in just a moment. But what do we see in the breaking news? From USA Today and sourced to WESH.com out of Orlando, Florida. Breaking news for you. Up to 8 shot at Orlando office building. WESH-TV is reporting up to 8 people have been shot in an Orlando office building. They say the shooting occurred on the 4th floor of the Gateway Center building in Orlando. If we jump over to WESH.com, at least 8 people were injured in a mass shooting inside a downtown Orlando high-rise just before noon Friday today, November 6th, 2009. Of course, as all eyes are on the fallout of the Fort Hood massacre. And we're going to get to that. One thing I want to get on the table first and quickly. This is a little flashback to the future. A story originally posted on MediaMonarchy.com back on February 20th, 2007. Nearly 3 years ago. Billboards urge preparedness for an attack on November 9th, 2009. Again, going back to February 20th, 2007. And there is the photo of the billboard with the website preparewny.org. And it's this sort of ripped headline from a newspaper that says, "Terrorist strike leaves city in chaos." And the date is November 9th, 2009. These rather fetchingly huge fear-mongering billboards went up across America in early 2007 to advertise the Red Cross. We note that they interestingly place the date of a future attack as November 9th, 2009, that is 11/9. We also, of course, note that the small print, if you blow up the photo you can see, states that the attack is to be a biochemical attack. I'm not a part of any doomsday cult, and I'm not one who predicts this is going to happen, or this is going to happen, or this is the date. Just as it's ridiculous to speculate about when Jesus is going to come back, it's equally futile to predict when the next big terror event will take place. But we just want to put this back on the record, back in your mind, back on the table, and as my man James Corbett said, give it a little bit of a wink and a nod and move on. Billboards urge preparedness for bio attack on November 9th. That is this coming Monday, and that does coincide with the 20th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. My man Alan out in Omaha made a comment on the Facebook page. Again, I essentially use facebook.com/MediaMonarchy as just a way to get my news stories out. And can also get back in touch with people I haven't seen in 20 years. They probably wonder what the hell I'm doing. But I think it's quite educational for all involved. And so, my man Alan out in Omaha left a comment on this Billboard 11/9 attack story, wondering, asking, is this the Illuminati thing letting you know what they're up to? The revelation of the method? Or is it predictive programming? Is the sudden Ukraine outbreak a biochemical attack? It seems right on time. Will it be reported an overt attack this Monday on November 9th? Nah. That's too spooky. We, of course, will get to all the strange developments and all the swine flu updates and the disturbing things that are going down in the Ukraine. But let's get to it. When I saw this story break, of course, like a lot of these terror events, and that's what yesterday's mass shooting was, it's a terror event. It's meant for you to be taken over by it and watch hours and hours of it on television. But as soon as this story broke, I immediately started saving the news stories. Print as PDF and save the files. Sometimes websites change. Sometimes stories change. And again, I'm no genius. I haven't been at this as long as a lot of folks, but I've been paying attention to the inner workings and the underbelly of the grand chessboard for several years now. And when stories like this happen, it doesn't take long for me to smell a rat. As we will see. Now again, this story is large, and I have a massive amount of links and updates and headlines for you. We're going to give you the basic rundown, and I'm sure we will find out more curious things. So when I originally posted this up, it was 7 dead and 20 wounded in mass shooting at Fort Hood in Texas. As it stands now, and the updated title of the posting is 13 dead and 31 wounded in mass shooting at Fort Hood, Texas. Let's start it off with a bit from Danger Room, the first bit of reporting. At least 7 people dead and 12 wounded in a shooting at Fort Hood in Texas, MSNBC reported. Local TV reports are referring to a single shooter. However, breaking news, that's at Breaking News on Twitter, on the other hand, mentions multiple gunmen dressed as soldiers. One is arrested, and a second is on the loose. And then 2 updates from Danger Room, where then the television is saying 20 wounded and 3 suspects, all in fatigues with military-style weapons. The second update from Danger Room has the Austin American-Statesman setting up a Twitter feed with all the latest developments with a link for you, twitter.com/FTHoodShootings. And of course, as we'll note, turns out this is the second shooting at the base in less than a year. And we've got a video from MSNBC. In fact, we have several videos, and as the wrap-up to this story in just a few minutes, I'm going to play my compilation of videos the audio that I've edited and put together for you that tells an interesting tale. So again, the MSNBC video, 7 dead, 12 wounded in Fort Hood shooting, or then, as the LA Times said, 12 killed, 31 injured in pair of shootings at Texas Army Base. And we note, again, that breaking news, changing stories, making sure we're saving pages before they go down the memory hole. With more from all around the world, The Guardian, Copycat Effect, McClatchy, LA Times. Violence all too familiar at Fort Hood. That's from Fox News. Another press conference update from MSNBC and Raw Replay. Fort Hood shooter killed. Official says 12 dead, 31 injured in Fort Hood shooting. And here in the middle of the posting, I add my personal note. And this was essentially the conversation I was having with my girlfriend as this was unfolding. That I basically, in talking with her, I was like, okay, well, let's see the way this rolls out. It's either going to be A, B, or C. So, with all due respect, I asked, again, before we learned a little more, before the story became solidified, I wondered what the story was going to be. Is it going to be PTSD and the three lone gunmen? Again, still writing as the three shooters was the official story at the beginning. Is it going to be PTSD and the three lone gunmen? White Al-Qaeda and the radicalized homegrown errorism? Or a Guy Fawkes Day attack by Obama-hating patriots? So, whichever way it went, as I've said many times before, we always must note, and it's quite interesting, as I've been saying it for quite some time, and now we see it again and again and again. When the fake conservatives are in power, the enemy is abroad. When the phony left comes in, the enemy is here. Just going back through a few administrations, like it's Reagan versus the Russians, Republican. Bush 1 versus the Iraqis, Republican. Clinton versus McVeigh and the militias, Democrat. Bush 2 versus the Iraqis, Republican. And now we're back to Obama versus God knows what. More updates from the Huffington Post. And again, more videos, more information. Fort Hood shooters were soldiers. And more key details emerge. Officials say a shooting suspect at Fort Hood has been identified as Major Malik Nadal Hassan. Last name, H-A-S-A-N. Who they say was an Army mental health professional. A law enforcement official said Hassan, believed to be in his late 30s, was killed after opening fire at the base. The official spoke on condition of anonymity because he was not authorized to discuss the case publicly. A defense official speaking on condition of anonymity says Hassan was a mental health professional, an Army psychologist or psychiatrist. It was not known whether he was treating people at the base. Officials say it was not clear what Hassan's religion was, but investigators are trying to determine if Hassan was his birth name or if he may have changed his name and converted to the Islamic faith at some point. Sometimes the religion only matters when they're brown and they play into the war of terror. That still continues to this day after year one of Obamasiah, but no digressing. My last bit of updates, posted late last night, late night 11/5 updates, where we will, of course, mention legitimate government, Citizens for Legitimate Government, the fantastic website by Lori Price, legitgov.org, the link to her posting, developing all the time on the Fort Hood attack. So we'll mention two things. One of her other fantastic timelines and anomaly page was on the Virginia Tech shooting, which, if you may recall, was this story that came out that there were multiple shooters in military fatigues. Wouldn't you know that Hassan went to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, military, psych, doctor. There were three shooters, then there's one shooter. It stinks. Let's run down the list of headlines, and then we will get to the interesting audio compilation for you. From Think Progress, Fort Hood murder suspect alive and in stable condition. That's right. We all thought he was dead and shot down, but no, actually, he's alive. He's dead. He's alive. There's three. There's one. They used handguns. No, they had military-style weapons. Which is it? From the LA Times, Fort Hood shooting, suspect gunman not among fatalities. Surviving Fort Hood shooting suspect arrested at golf course, officer says. This is an interesting one. Let's hop over to CNN for this one. Surprisingly, this one has not gone down the memory hole and is still posted up. A senior officer who was playing golf Thursday near Fort Hood, Texas, told CNN he witnessed the arrest of one of the two surviving suspects of the shooting at the Army installation. Shortly after the shooting, the officer said military police told him to clear the course, and he saw other MPs surround the building that held the golf carts. The senior officer said he ducked into a nearby house for cover as 30 to 40 cars carrying MPs approached. He said he saw a soldier in battle dress uniform, his hands in the air. The MPs ordered him to lie on the ground and open his uniform, presumably to ensure he was not carrying explosives. He said an MP told him that authorities considered the man to be a suspect in the shootings after having overheard the man say he was with the shooter. The man was surrounded for 25 to 30 minutes until a convoy of vehicles arrived, led by a Ford Crown Vic and carrying men in suits, and he was taken away. We've said it before, we'll say it again, and that's when the white van rolled up and the spooks in suits hopped out. Right before the official story solidifies. So there you go. Surviving Fort Hood shooting suspect was arrested at the golf course. Is that Hassan or was that another guy? Feds eyed Fort Hood killer for posts praising suicide bombers. That's from Danger Room. Tragedy stalks Fort Hood. That's from DODBuzz.com. Fort Hood no stranger to violent outbursts. That's from McClatchy. And again, we'll note and make reference to Peter Lavenda, author of Sinister Forces, recent interview on Media Monarchy, where one of the basic premises and theories of Sinister Forces is that America is a big haunted house built on stolen land, and why are there such a preponderance of military bases and prisons built on Indian burial grounds? So it's no surprise. In a way. Sad and disturbing, but no surprise. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. More from the Brisbane Times. 12 killed in Texas military base shooting. Officials heightened security at Fort Bragg. That's in North Carolina. There's a video on that from WTVD. More from the Washington Post. The Telegraph. The Deutsche Press Agency. The LA Times has Obama lamenting the horrific outburst of violence at Fort Hood. To say nothing, of course, of the continued horrific violence in our wars of aggression abroad. But we don't want to talk about that right now. Of course, Fox News gets into the game. Again, my man Alan in Omaha wondered how Fox News was going to spin this story. Well, here you go. Fox and Shep Smith says that the alleged Fort Hood shooter's name sure tells us a lot. Alternet.org has a great breakdown on the focus on killers' beliefs and how that avoids the deeper reasons for this massacre. Which, again, is essentially you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Suspect in Fort Hood shooting, a Muslim asked Army to discharge him, his aunt says. That's from the Washington Post. Muslims fear backlash in the wake of Fort Hood massacre. That's from Raw Story. And from Scoop out of New Zealand, Islamic Information Center condemns Texas attacks. And we have seen that as well on the top of Google News. Muslim Veterans Group says no reports of harassment of Islamic soldiers. And of course, most Islamic groups decrying and deploring this act. Interestingly enough, from the Times Online, counter-terror plans will be revised to reflect Fort Hood attacks. So it just so happens that they're now all of a sudden ready to roll out new regulations and restrictions. Sure, they were just able to whip it up on the fly. It wasn't already written and waiting. The last two notes, one is a video, the other is a great compilation from the fantastic Cryptogon.com. U.S. Army psychiatrist allegedly carried out massacre at Fort Hood. So that's the massive rundown on this Fort Hood event, murder spree, shooting spree. We speculated several months ago, back in the Ides of March and April, around the killing times of 420, with McVeigh and Waco and Hitler and Virginia Tech and all those things. We're going to listen to my compilation of four different clips. Again, there's even more than that. But this one, chronologically, should tell you an interesting tale about how the official story solidified in the case of Hassan and the Fort Hood massacre.
We begin with breaking news today, a shooting spree at the U.S. Army's Fort Hood in Texas.
Seven people are reportedly dead, 15 people wounded by possibly two gunmen. Dave Meekum is in the newsroom with the very latest. Dave.
Well, Fort Hood is on lockdown as security tries to figure out just what happened. A source calling in to CNN says there were two gunmen. One was so-called neutralized. That's the language they were using. The other has been cornered. Here's some file video of Fort Hood. The source who called CNN says the gunman was carrying an M16 machine gun during the shooting spree. It began at personnel and medical processing center. That's how they describe it. About 1:30 central time, there were also several people shot at a theater on the base. Right now, there is no official word on whether there was indeed two gunmen. Military officials are trying to figure that out. It's also not known if the suspects are military personnel or civilians, or what may have triggered this action in the first place. Fort Hood is the largest U.S. military installation in the world. It is home to the 1st Cavalry Division and the 1st Army Division. West will stay on this story throughout the day and keep you updated. The area we are talking near Killeen, Texas, halfway between Austin and Waco.
Well, Tamron, we've now confirmed that, in fact, there was a shooting and that 12 people were wounded and 7 were killed, and the gunman has been apprehended and is in custody. Those are all the details we have right now. Fort Hood, of course, is the Army's premier installation to train and deploy heavy forces. Tens of thousands of Army soldiers go through Fort Hood every year. And again, we're still working on details as to the incident and how this happened and whether it was during training or whether it was in barracks or where on the base it was. But again, 12 wounded, 7 confirmed dead. The gunman is in custody. And
well, David, part of the story...
Actually, we're told now that there is a gunman that's on the loose.
Right.
So this information about one in custody, we'll have to follow up on that.
Yeah, right now what they're saying, one gunman, you're correct, David, in custody, and now we're hearing that one is on the loose there.
That terrible tragedy here at Fort Hood today. The situation is ongoing, although I think we have positive news that we're very close to a resolution. At approximately 1330 hours today, a shooter entered what we call the soldier readiness facility, where soldiers who are preparing to deploy go for last-minute medical checkups and dental treatment, etc. Shooter opened fire and essentially, due to the quick response of the police forces, was killed. At this time, the numbers that we're looking at are 12 dead and 31 wounded, and they're dispersed among the local hospital here in the Central Texas area. The extent of injuries varies significantly, and again, we're getting great cooperation from the Central Texas medical facilities. As I said, the shooter was killed. He was a soldier. We since then have apprehended two additional soldiers that are suspects. And I would go into the point that there were eyewitness accounts that there may have been more than one shooter. They tracked the suspected individuals to an adjacent facility, and they were apprehended. They are soldiers, but again, they are suspects at this time, and we're looking into that.
Officials have identified the soldier who opened fire at an army base in Fort Hood, Texas, Thursday. Authorities say Major Nidal Malik Hassan set off a rampage that killed 12 people and left 31 wounded. The Army says Hassan is in stable condition at a hospital and is being watched by a guard. Two other soldiers suspected in the attack were apprehended. Military officials say Hassan was a psychiatrist at Walter Reed Army Medical Center for 6 years before being transferred to Fort Hood in July. It's unclear whether he was treating people at the base. Officials with access to Hassan's military record say he received a poor performance evaluation while at Walter Reed. The Virginia-born soldier was single with no children. He was 39 years old. He's a graduate of Virginia Tech University, where he was a member of the ROTC and earned a bachelor's degree in biochemistry in 1997. No word yet on what his religion was. Investigators are trying to determine if Hassan was his birth name or if he may have changed his name and converted to the Islamic faith at some point. Nicole Grether, The Associated Press.
So needless to say, there was very much contained within those four edits. Did you hear the mention about a shooting in a theater? That wasn't something we hit in the rundown of the headlines. So are there separate events? Were there more than one shooter? Was it M16s? Was it handguns? Was he dead? Was he alive? But the connections to military, psychology, Virginia Tech, biochemistry, as they just mentioned, again, raises many red flags. Perhaps I'm totally wrong. If you want to set me straight, hit me up. Again, Facebook, MySpace, Yahoo, Gmail, Media Monarchy. But I think we're going to have to move on. So there it all is. And again, all the information is archived and saved. It's there, trying to lay out a path. And you can look into it yourself. Let us now move to the bio war and all the latest swine flu updates in this posting, strange Ukraine and scarcity claims. Something wicked this way comes indeed. And as I've said time and time again, many of these stories, so labyrinthine, I fear I don't do them justice for you. Something's going down in the Ukraine. So let's hit the first headline on this latest swine flu update posting. Ukraine bans public gatherings to stop swine flu. This from the New York Times, and this from Halloween. The Ukrainian government is taking some of the sternest measures in the world against the spread of the swine flu virus, ordering schools nationwide to close for 3 weeks, banning public gatherings, and imposing restrictions on travel. You can call that what you like. Prime Minister Tymoshenko announced the measures on Halloween in response to rising fears about swine flu, especially in western Ukraine. Federal health officials said 33 people had died of the flu across the country, although there was conflicting information about which type of the virus was to blame. The situation in Ukraine has reached the epidemic threshold, Tymoshenko said. The ban on public gatherings, she said, would apply to, quote, all large-scale public events, concerts, movie showings, and any other gatherings of people for the next 3 weeks. Oh, good. The World Health Organization said it would send a team to the Ukraine to assist the authorities. So that's the first note from the New York Times. But as it gets stranger, we reintroduce a pharmaceutical company we mentioned earlier in the year when it was first exposed that they sent live viruses to, I believe it was the Ukraine. So the question coming from David Rothscum, davidrothscum.com, has Baxter International released a biological weapon? Evidence appears to suggest that Baxter, pharmaceutical company, is responsible for a new deadly outbreak of viral pneumonia in the Ukraine. In February of this year, Bloomberg reported that Baxter accidentally sent vaccine material containing both live avian bird flu and seasonal influenza to multiple laboratories worldwide. A laboratory decided to test the vaccine on its ferrets, but the ferrets all unexpectedly died. But must be noted that Baxter has made a mistake like this before. Blood products produced by Baxter once contained HIV. Thousands of hemophiliacs died because of it, and many went on to infect their spouses. Later in the year, a bizarre story emerged on the internet. The Huffington Post reported on a man named Joseph Moshe, M-O-S-H-E, who was arrested after an hours-long standoff with the police because he had supposedly made threats against the White House. The man was able to withstand multiple rounds of tear gas. And the videos and photos of that are available, and we're going to have a little more on that. However, the internet community was very skeptical of the true reasons behind this man's arrest. Comments on the Huffington Post website immediately began pouring in about an unreported side of this story, namely that Joseph Moshe was a Mossad agent specialized in biological warfare who called into a radio show to warn people about a biological weapon that was being made by Baxter that would be spread through vaccine and would cause a plague upon its release. Although anyone can make a doomsday claim and we should never believe anyone, the amazing part about Moshe's claim was the location where Moshe said the bioweapon was being produced. Moshe claimed that Baxter's laboratory in the Ukraine, out of all places, was creating this bioweapon. All of this came out in the beginning of August, which is more than 2 months before the situation that is currently unfolding. For Moshe to correctly name the country where a new epidemic would be unleashed requires either inside info or an incredible coincidence, as anyone with basic knowledge of statistics can confirm for themselves. Let us assume for a moment that every person on our planet has an equal chance of giving rise to a new lethal epidemic due to a virus that mutates as it spreads through the body. The Ukraine has 46 million inhabitants. The current estimated global population is at about 6.7 billion. This means that if a new epidemic were to arise, the chance of this epidemic starting in the Ukraine would be about 0.69%. However, it appears that this virus is a form of the flu. This makes the odds of being right when guessing that a deadly flu is going to break out in the Ukraine even smaller. The reason for this is that back in early August, the vast majority of influenza infections were found in different countries than the Ukraine. In fact, on the 30th of October, EarthTimes.org reported that Ukraine had officially reported only 2 cases of swine flu, no deaths, all up until Halloween. This deadly epidemic appears to have arrived out of nowhere in the Ukraine. Moshe's biomed profile appears to confirm his position as a microbiologist. Furthermore, the website, the webpage with Baxter's contact info for its Ukraine office confirms that Baxter has indeed a presence in the Ukraine. We now also note, again, the massive numbers of microbiologists that have been dying bizarre deaths. This quite fascinating report from David Rothscum goes on, but I think you're kind of getting the idea. More from conspicuousape.com. Swine flu wars. Baxter's Ukraine bioweapon exposed. PreventDisease.com has the deaths of 4 Ukraine doctors raising suspicions of a cover-up. 4 doctors died of flu in Ukraine's Ternopil and Lvov regions. Health minister said at the Sunday meeting of the operative headquarters for the prevention and treatment of AH1N1. Recombinomics.com has the reported cases in the Ukraine double in 2 days. We just mentioned that. Strange things are afoot in the Ukraine, my friends. But let's continue to run down the list of headlines on this swine flu updates posting. Strange Ukraine and scarcity claims. Flu fears, vaccine fears, and cheerleader Desiree Jennings story. All that from U.S. News and World Report. Fightback, H1N1.com has the 1972 World Health Organization memos explaining how vaccines could be turned into killers. There were two separate cases of kids being inoculated against their will, against their parents' will, against their parents' wishes. We have two reports, one from truthnews.us, the other from gothamist.com. Girl mistakenly given swine flu vaccine went to the emergency room.
A swine flu vaccine mix-up sparks outrage and concern.
Two children were given the vaccine without their parents' consent. One mother says her daughter ended up in the emergency room after getting sick.
It's a major mistake that could have been deadly. CBS2's Jay Dow has the story.
It's a long weekend for 6-year-old Nakia Torres, the result of an H1N1 vaccination she received yesterday morning at PS 335 in Brooklyn.
You just gave me the needle without asking me what my name.
Without her mother's consent.
I'm outraged. Like, what parent wouldn't be?
City health officials say another student at PS 65 on Staten Island was also given the vaccine without parental permission.
So there you have it. Talk of, are you going to get it? Are you going to take the vaccine? Are you going to let your kids do it? Are you going to make them do it? I hear those conversations take place while I'm at work and around. It's those kind of situations that I want to pipe up and butt in. But sometimes you can't. That's why I come into a little radio booth, make a few hours of media a week, where I have my radio muscles. But again, this isn't where it's at. This is just where I'm trying to connect people up and disseminate information. Again, it's pretty much up to you to continue it, because that's all I'm trying to do. Continuing down the BioWars swine flu updates, a massive, amazing 6-part series from naturalnews.com and their profit-driven swine flu propaganda series, Pump Up the Volume. Time magazine hatches an interesting note on swine flu's unsportsmanlike conduct and whether or not athletes who maybe have some flu-like symptoms should they still be high-fiving their fans. Swine flu detected in commercial pigs in Indiana. That's from the Los Angeles Times. Again, from naturalnews.com, 20 reasons why vitamin D is better than a swine flu vaccine. Just another case of the natural things available on the planet are pretty much our source to solve many of the problems that have been created. That's the thing. So many of these problems are, in a way, man-made. Made in a lab, made in a military base, what have you. Those are the things that have gotten us into the terrible, environmentally and personally, physically, interspace that's destroying us. And yet we're going to run back to the same folks who caused the damage to, oh, please save us. And of course, they're more than willing to offer their solution to you. There's a lot more, and there is a great video put together, kind of a compilation, but it's about 10 minutes long. We're just going to take the pertinent moment where we have, from earlier in the year, a recording, a podcast, a video from, of course, the Council on Foreign Relations. If you don't know what the CFR is, you better find out. Just look at Carol Quigley, Tragedy and Hope. CFR recording suggests creating false scarcity to drive up demand for the H1N1 vaccine.
I think what would work better would be to say that there was a shortage and people tend to line up more for something that's in demand. We saw that there was one season where really people lined up all night to get a flu shot.
And with supplies of the vaccine running low, doctors around the country are now finding themselves overrun with nervous parents. Here's ABC Rachel Martin.
For weeks, doctors' offices around the country have been fielding a flurry of phone calls.
We do not have any H1N1 available at our office at this time.
Telling patients the same thing.
You're out of the flu shot vaccine right now.
So when you line up and there's a scarcity, you know, they may have to break out the scoops for crowd control. So there's the Council on Foreign Relations joking. They're just joking about manufactured scarcity. And so, as long as we're joking, let's take a bit of fresh air, a little bit of release, and we'll be right back into it. But we gotta get a little bit of satire from the Onion Radio. Overburdened Health Department cancels the flu season.
An overburdened Department of Health and Human Services postpones the flu season. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Exhausted government officials admitted today that they can no longer handle the flu season at this point and will postpone it until further notice. DHSS spokesman Frederick Schum told reporters the swine flu alone has made this year's flu season, quote, totally out of the question.
Maybe we can try to fit it in next March or after my parents' anniversary, I think might be good.
Schum added that for now, anyone suffering flu-like symptoms should call their local fire department. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
We also played an Onion clip on the previous 147C episode where America's urged to reduce its mayonnaise footprint. But now, all joking aside, the last several updates posted up on the BioWars swine flu tip. Again, healthfreedomalliance.org this time asking the question, has Baxter released a bioweapon in Ukraine? The World Health Organization continues to deceive, assumes that the Ukraine plague is H1N1 swine flu. Again, from preventdisease.com. From Time Magazine, Ukraine swine flu panic, H1N1 crisis, or political ploy? Mystery flu runs wild in Ukraine. That's from darkgovernment.com. But is it really? I mean, it pretty much sounds like it. From what we laid out, what's happening? Is it martial law? Forced vaccinations? Is that what may be unfolding in the Ukraine? Kurt Nemo has it like this. The darling of the globalist NGO, that's non-governmental organization, Color Revolution, remember the orange color revolution in the Ukraine? Viktor Yushchenko has issued an official statement suggesting as president he will impose martial law on the country, force citizens to take toxic vaccinations, and outlaw demonstrations by political opposition. Naturalnews.com has more on the vaccine shortage fabrication to possibly create hysteria and boost demand, question mark. We have the fascinating link to the website of the Uberloo. That's at uberloo.com, which I guess would be the over toilet. But what is the Uberloo? It's the toilet that locks you in until you've correctly washed up. You can check out their little instructional video. I thought about playing the audio, but it's goofy. But you should watch it at uberloo.com. Again, can you imagine being locked into a bathroom? Alex Constantine goes into the statistical proof that vaccines are not safe, especially for women. A note from the LA County Libertarian Examiner. On Examiner.com, wicked government mandate forces immigrants to accept deadly vaccine. In this case, we're talking about Gardasil, Merck's HPV product. BusinessInsider.com has Goldman Sachs receiving H1N1 vaccine before several hospitals did. Isn't it interesting that Goldman Sachs seems to be connected to everything going on these days? And you thought it was just those corrupt GOP Republicans all connected up to Halliburton and the military-industrial complex. And they are. And they were. And you're right. But now, again, they're moving the agenda forward. Some of the names change, but the agenda rolls forward. Goldman Sachs, yet again, the folks who gave the most money to the Obamasiah, the folks behind housing crashes, bankster bailouts, missing trillions, the new financial world order, and all that that entails. Here they are again. We'll wrap up this BioWars swine flu updates posting with one last mention, and there's a great graphic. I posted it up large for you. Again, the strange story of Joseph Moshe and the Ukraine Baxter bioterror warning. In the photo, in this little collage, you get a photo of the LAPD SWAT teams aiming guns at Moshe in his car. And the text notes that 3 months ago, Joseph Moshe, again, M-O-S-H-E, Israeli microbiologist, called into an LA talk show to warn people that Baxter International's Ukraine lab was, in fact, producing a bioweapon disguised as a flu vaccine. He was quickly chased, gassed, tasered, and taken away. Now this week, a sudden outbreak of deadly, extremely contagious H1N1 or something has appeared in Ukraine. The last thing I want to put out is, where's a clip of this phone call into the talk show? Is that available? I'm not sure. If it is, please send it to me, MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. And my friends, that's going to do it for this first hour of episode 148 from MediaMonarchy.com. It's November 6, 2009. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. And don't forget FoodWorldOrder.com and CyberspaceWar.com. That first hour pretty much entailed the Fort Hood massacre, the breaking news around this Orlando mass shooting, and of course, all the latest strange events unfolding in the bio war. We're broadcasting live from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And again, thanks to zeropointradio.com, revereradio.net, frolympia.org, boulderfreeradio.com, stickam.com/groundzero, berkeleyliberationradio.net, oneskyradio.com, and cascadiapublicradio.org. I'll again make quick mention of the forthcoming high-quality 192K MP3 version of Media Monarchy that will be available to those who want it. I'm not going to those of you who subscribe to the podcast, I'm not going to force you onto a new, higher quality file. But that new feed is going to be available. And again, huge thanks to my man Jeff at radio23.org. That's radio23.org for helping to make this happen. And again, I'll ask that my affiliates who rebroadcast the show to get in touch with me, MediaMonarchy@gmail.com, and we'll work out and we'll get you guys the new higher quality version for rebroadcast. Having said all that, as we launch into hour number two of episode 148 of MediaMonarchy.com, we glance at the breaking news on this November 6th. 2009, top of Google News from the Wall Street Journal, mass shootings in the U.S. Right below that, we have Orlando, office shooting. A former employee of a business located in downtown Orlando building where a deadly mass shooting took place today is suspected in the attack. Gunman shoots at least 8. Those coming from the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times, respectively. And we'll keep an eye, as you should as well. All the latest biowarfare updates, I suppose, leads us well into EnviroHealth. This posting deals with climate control and carbon indulgences, and so much more. Al Gore's inconvenient sequel stresses spiritual argument on climate. This from The Guardian. Al Gore's much-anticipated sequel to An Inconvenient Truth was published this week with an admission that facts alone will not persuade Americans to act on global warming and that appealing to their spiritual side is the way forward. In his latest book, Our Choice, A Plan to Solve the Climate Crisis, the man who won a Nobel Prize in 2007 for his touring slideshow on disappearing polar ice and other consequences of climate change concludes, quote, simply laying out the facts won't work. Instead, Gore tells Newsweek magazine that he's been adapting his fact-based message, now put out by hundreds of volunteers, to appeal to those who believe there is a moral or religious duty to protect the planet. I've done a Christian-based training program, I have a Muslim training program, and a Jewish training program coming up, also a Hindu program coming up, 200 Christian ministers in Nashville. Gore's book arrives at a time of intense international scrutiny of America's moves on the environment ahead of the international meeting on global warming at Copenhagen, now just a month away. That would be the Copenhagen Treaty that no one's read, that few are talking about, that is essentially a large power grab that essentially gives up national sovereignty. And regardless of whether or not you really believe in anthropogenic, that is, man-made global warming, are paying carbon indulgences. And again, see, this all fits around. They're going to change it around to make climate control the new world religion. And just like those other corrupt religions that have taken our money throughout the centuries, we're going to pay our carbon indulgences to shadowy financiers and international banksters and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and funds set up by Al Gore and Goldman Sachs and the rest. So whether or not you really believe in phony man-made global warming or the fact that carbon dioxide is a life-giving fundamental element of life on Earth here, and you don't want to talk about GMOs, and you don't want to talk about the plastic islands floating out in the sea, and you don't want to talk about the garbage in the water or the pharmaceuticals they're forcing down our throats, you want to snitch on your neighbor for not recycling correctly. We're going to break this down further, but there you have Gore essentially saying we're going to make global warming, the new world religion. More from the New York Times on Gore's dual role as advocate and investor. Former Vice President Al Gore thought he had spotted a winner last year when a small California firm sought financing for an energy-saving technology from the venture capital firm where Mr. Gore is a partner. The company, Silver Spring Networks, produces hard and software to make the electricity grid more efficient. There's the mention of the smart grid. It came to Mr. Gore's firm, Kleiner Perkins Caulfield and Byers, one of Silicon Valley's top venture capital providers, looking for $75 million to expand its partnerships with utilities seeking to install millions of so-called smart meters in homes and businesses. It's a tax on you. It's a tax on living. And don't fall into the trap because you think you're a better white liberal, that these things don't apply to you. Those apply to just those poor brown people who just won't stop cranking out those babies. It's not us. You still drive your car around with no one in it but you. You get your plastic cups of coffee every day. But you're going to buy into the new world religion. Let's continue. Let's hop to InfoWars. And a bit from Paul Joseph Watson, where we do have Al Gore admitting that CO2 does not cause the majority of global warming. He sources World BB News and other reports, the Australian Herald Sun, on Gore's flip-flop. But here's an interesting one. We're now back to the Copenhagen Treaty. A piece from Janet Albrechtson on the Wall Street Journal. This is just opinion. Has anyone read the Copenhagen Agreement? UN plans for a new government are scary. We can only hope the world leaders will do nothing more than enjoy a pleasant bike ride around the charming streets of Copenhagen come December, for if they actually manage to wring out an agreement based on the current draft text of the Copenhagen Climate Change Treaty, the world's in for some nasty surprises. Draft text, you say? If you haven't heard about it, that's because none of our otherwise talkative political leaders have bothered to tell us what the drafters have already cobbled together for the leaders to consider. And neither have the media. Enter Lord Christopher Monckton, former advisor to Maggie Thatcher, gave an address at Bethel University in St. Paul earlier in the month, that being October, that made quite a splash. For the first time, the public heard about the 181-page, dated September 15th report, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, a rough draft of what could be signed come December. So far, there have been more, like we mentioned, millions of views on that YouTube video, wherein Monckton warns that the aim of the Copenhagen Draft Treaty is to set up a transitional government on a scale the world has never before seen. The scheme for the new institutional arrangement under the convention that starts on page 18 contains the provision for a government. The aim is to give a new, as yet unnamed UN body the power to directly intervene in the financial, economic, tax, and environmental affairs of the nations, of all the nations, that sign the Copenhagen Treaty. The reason for this power grab is clear enough. Clause after complicated clause of the draft treaty requires developed countries to pay an adaptation debt to developing countries to supposedly support climate change mitigation. This report goes on, but let's jump to the bottom and ask ourselves the question. Given that our political leaders spend hundreds of hours talking about climate change and the need for a global consensus in Copenhagen, why have none of them talked openly about the details of this draft climate change treaty? After all, the final treaty will bind signatories for years to come. What exactly are they hiding? And we note that, thanks to this viral video and speech from Lord Monckton, we now know something of their plans. And again, we'll mention the recent interview of Lord Monckton by CorbettReport.com. So, speaking of clips, we're now going to jump to The Guardian. As again, we see things aren't so simple here in the world of climate control. Friends of the Earth, with the unfortunate but funny acronym of FOE, Friends of the Earth attack carbon trading.
What Friends of the Earth's new report shows is that the government's obsession with carbon trading is high risk, irresponsible, and dangerous. Not only is carbon trading not delivering emissions reductions, it could risk a repeat of the subprime mortgage crisis, bringing about another economic crisis and potentially ruining our chances of avoiding dangerous climate change. Carbon trading is a lot more complex already than just the buying and selling of permits by polluting industries. There's lots of other actors involved, investment banks, speculators, people who sell very complex financial products. And the risk is that with the use of those products, the value of what they're selling becomes increasingly detached from the actual reality, and that leads to a very big risk that you could have a big market crash, which could have implications not just for the global economy, but also for our chances of tackling climate change. So what we need the government to do is actually take real action on climate change rather than leave it to the market to deal with it. We need the government to use tried and tested tools like regulation, taxation on carbon emissions, and also big public investment in our infrastructure to bring down emissions and help tackle climate change. We need your help campaigning for a strong and fair deal at Copenhagen. You go to Friends of the Earth's website, sign the Demand Climate Change petition, and we'll pass on your message to global leaders to sign up to a just and fair and strong deal to help tackle climate change.
Friends of the Earth attacking the carbon trading scheme that, again, we're saying is basically going to set up a new phony derivatives market. That is zeros and ones and exponentially growing numbers being accumulated and money made, quote-unquote money made, off things that don't really exist. There is the video of Lord Monckton appearing on the Glenn Beck show to debate global warming. Unfortunately, Fox News was one of the only TV news outlets to give Lord Monckton and the Copenhagen Treaty story any coverage. Unfortunately, because thereby making it easier to discredit, because he's a goofball on with the other nut jobs on Fox. Oil companies support global warming alarmists, not the skeptics. This is another interesting thing to note. We're breaking down the walls here for you. The only disagreement between Al Gore and ExxonMobil is who gets to sink the teeth in first. A common charge leveled against global warming skeptics is that they're all on the payroll of the transnational oil companies, when, in fact, the opposite is true. Oil companies are amongst the biggest promoters of climate control propaganda, emphasized recently by ExxonMobil's call for a global carbon tax. With a link for you to Rex Tillerson's speech last month. Kind of shifting gears here for the last few headlines on EnviroHealth. Terahertz wave body scanners help destroy your DNA. That would be the scanners that now, of course, show your naked body in the airports. They also destroy your DNA. Just a little bit. Beijing's first snow of the season was artificially induced. That's from the French agency Press, and another example of geoengineering the atmosphere. Carbon traders deny subprime crisis brewing. That's from the Telegraph. That should have been right under the Friends of the Earth clip. Interesting note that Pew Research, a poll they recently did, points out that only 6% of scientists that deny climate change are Republicans. Again, they're all with the oil companies. They're all Republicans. Not so much the case. The last note here is another article from CorbettReport.com. Bikini-clad Miss Earth contestants help push climate propaganda. Everybody's doing it. All the sporting events are into it. All your favorite oil companies are into it. Why not you? Why not? You don't want to be left behind on the bandwagon. Everybody loves a bandwagon. Everybody loves to get interested in something for a few days and then flit off because I'm bored and I want to do something else. Let's move into Police State International. On this posting, enemies of the state, white noise, and more. As I've said before, as I say again, in a way, I sometimes somehow feel kind of guilty of it, that I don't do it justice, that I don't explain all these bits as well as I could or should. Just how big these things are. Things are moving at a rapid pace. And in a way, we're being attacked on many, many levels, the main one of which is on our conscience. And our conscience minds. Police State International, Enemies of the State, White Noise, and more. Special Ops Report suggests an assassination program aimed at, quote, jihadists, drug dealers, pirates, and other enemies of the state. We've got a bit from Kurt Nimmo, but the source is back to Noah Shachtman on Danger Room and their article, U.S. Needs Hit Squads and a Manhunting Agency. So says this new special ops report. Lots of other reports and documents coming out lately. DarkGovernment.com goes into the FBI enlisting tattoo shops. Raw Story has FBI documents reveal secret CIA prisoners manacled to the ceiling. FBI operations manual raises concern. Again, from darkgovernment.com, Homeland Stupidity approves enhanced tribal ID cards. That's from Federal Computer Week. And things get bizarre when you start to think of Native Americans being given biometric ID cards. But then all the drills, like Vigilant Guard, had still been raging on and on. Again, these police state war game military exercise drills that get you accustomed to the idea of seeing the military operate on the homeland. National Guard exercise begins in Buffalo region. That was a press release. We have several, all coming from readmedia.com. New York National Guard Task Force takes on rubble pile. Busy day four for Exercise Vigilant Guard, and Exercise Vigilant Guard concludes in Western New York. TheGlobeAndMail.com has emergency responders prepping for toxic terror attack, and interestingly enough, let's hop to theregister.co.uk as Whitehall plans white noise phone network collapse drill. UK government will simulate a shutdown of the national phone network next week in an exercise involving hundreds of government and industry players. The exercise, codenamed White Noise, is designed to simulate a catastrophic nationwide communications failure and will take place over Wednesday and Thursday, November 11th and the 12th. Operation White Noise. But back to the States, pretend terrorists release fake radioactive poison in Olympic drill. Oh, I guess that's not the United States, but it's in the North American Union, up in Vancouver, as they're terror prepping for the Olympics coming up. More from CTV. Vancouver prepares for Olympics with mock terror attacks. Vancouver Olympic protesters are labeled terrorists. That's from bclocalnews.com. And another one from CorbettReport.com, legislation tabled to stop the RCMP from investigating itself. The last note on Police State International goes to the Daily Mail. UK grandma griped about the gay pride parade, and then the cops showed up and threatened to charge her for hate crimes. That's the way they roll in Police State International. Let's keep moving. Gosh, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? Can you believe it's been a whole year already? Obamessiah and the Apostles of War. Year one, change zero. It's out with the old and in with the old as the left-right charade goes on Obama's election anniversary. Repugs claim victory. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency. GOP victories in first election test for Obama. Again, from the DPA, referencing the recent elections this past week, where, among other things, of course, Michael Bloomberg bought himself a third term in New York. And some bums got thrown out as the pendulum swings back. However, the swing does seem to get a little swifter, a little faster. But it's all divide and conquer. I'm left, I'm right, I'm black, I'm white, I'm blue, I'm red. Voters repudiate Dems because the Dems sold out on financial reform. That's from Washington's blog. Shifting gears, Obama invites Native American leaders to the White House. Maybe he'll be the one to give them their new tribal ID cards. Gay leaders blame TV ads and Obama for the loss in Maine, where I believe gay marriage was overturned or re-overturned or God knows what is going on in the culture wars, where again, they throw us these footballs that ultimately the power-mad eugenical elites could care less about abortion or gay marriage, but they're the little hot little potatoes they throw out for us and we rabble about. Not saying those things aren't important. But they keep us fighting, keep us divided, keep us classed out. Planet Obama, the first year. That's a big rundown, again, from the Deutsche Press Agency. But from Global Economic Analysis, Obama creates 640,329 jobs at a cost of $323,000+ per job. We like to note from the USA Today that top Obama fundraisers get posts. More than 40% of President Obama's top-level fundraisers have secured posts in his administration, from key executive branch jobs to diplomatic postings in countries such as France, Spain, and the Bahamas. They've got the interesting breakdown on folks who raised more than $500,000. Some of the top folks, they got sweet ambassador gigs in Australia, Austria, Sweden, Finland, Japan. It'd be interesting to spend a little time with this list, but we don't have time. And again, change you can't believe in. Government booklet addresses Obamacare as if it's a done deal. I believe this information came, yes, from the Illinois Department of Health. We've got a PDF who pretty much talks about Obamacare as it's done deal. 11 recently uncovered videos show even more school kids worshiping the Obamasiah. And it doesn't really take much to transition into these last few headlines. Bush TV propaganda program continues under Obama. That's from Raw Story. Again, the agenda rolls forward. Obama continues Bush policy regarding posse comitatus. That's from thenewamerican.com. The Associated Press has the Obama administration saying to toss the wiretap lawsuit, meaning don't sue to find out information about illegal wiretaps. Change. We have a new movie seeking the prosecution of George W. Bush for murder, for war crimes, all being based on the book from Vincent Bugliosi. I unfortunately have to take this with a grain of salt for the ridiculous things that he's put out about the Kennedy assassination. You should look into reclaiming history. It's unfortunately made everything else he's talked about kind of suspect. But the points are valid. I just wish he wasn't the star of the show. The last note here on Obamasiah and the Apostles of War, year one, change zero. Cheney could not recall key events about Plamegate. That's from truthout.org. Let's move quickly into geopolitics. The grand chessboard, if you will. Renditions, selections, false flags, and war games. The first note, fascinatingly enough, an Italian court has convicted 23 Americans in the CIA rendition case.
Well, an Italian court has convicted 23 Americans of abducting an Egyptian terror suspect from Milan 6 years ago. Under the CIA's so-called extraordinary rendition program, The man was taken to Egypt, where he was allegedly tortured. For more on this case and its significance, let's now cross live to Priya Schreeder, who's in our Washington studio. Hello, Priya. So why is this case a landmark case, Priya?
Hi there, Kelly. So one of the interesting things is that Amnesty International said that the United States shouldn't need a foreign court to distinguish what's right from wrong. So now many people are wondering if this case will set a precedent for the Obama administration to investigate and prosecute other members of the Extraordinary Rendition Program. And joining me to help discuss this is RT contributor and investigative journalist Wayne Madsen. Wayne, thanks so much for joining me. So first of all, was this verdict a surprise to you at all?
Not really. This was an ongoing investigation. The 23 Americans who were found guilty and were sentenced to some time in prison, the former CIA station chief Robert Selden Lady, station chief in Milan, 8 years. All the others, 22 others, 5 years in prison. They range from diplomats to members of the U.S. military to the CIA station chief in this case. No real surprise. This has been an ongoing case. I think we'll have to see now if the Interpol red notices go out, the arrest warrants, and which countries will cooperate with the authorities to take these people into custody.
That's from Russia Today. We also have another Russia Today clip, Webster Tarpley, saying that Italy has turned the tables on the CIA. We also have U.S. and India bonding over war games. That's from topnews.in. Privatized foreign policy, the India lobby. That is a great new piece from Zach Fillingham of geopoliticalmonitor.com. Again, I'll remind you to check out my recent interview with Zach Fillingham of geopoliticalmonitor.com, and it's all still posted up under interviews on mediamonarchy.com. One of the things that Zach points out is that India has bought 200 tons of gold from the IMF. More on that from the Times of India. Of course, former UNICAL board member and brother of a CIA-funded drug dealer in Afghanistan. That's right, it's President Hamid Karzai declared the winner of the Afghan election. Of course, there was the runoff. They were going to redo it. Then the opponent, quote-unquote, dropped out. Karzai, winner. Afghan president appears to win by default, reports from military.com and the LA Times. PAC Alert has the interesting false flag story of Americans dressed as Afghans caught with illegal weapons and explosives. The Independent out of the UK, sources and academics saying that the Kim Jong-il that Billy Clinton met recently to secure the release of those two journalists was a fake. That's kind of funny and interesting, but what isn't funny is more from Alex Constantine. DynCorp, you know, those folks that have been busted repeatedly about being behind sex trafficking and kidnapping, and we give them major contracts. Private military contractors, DynCorp, DynCorp. One of their subcontractors, known as InterRisk, looks like they were behind the October 10th suicide bombing of Pakistan's military headquarters. IsraelNationalNews.com has Perez discussing terror with Juniper Cobra soldiers. Juniper Cobra, of course, being the massive U.S.-Israel war game exercise that's been going on. The Telegraph has the U.S. dropping the demand for Israeli settlement freeze. That would be Hillary rolling over so that our BFFs can continue to kill Palestinians. An interesting note from PAL Telegraph, that's the Palestinian Telegraph. Who controls Congress? Who controls the president? Who controls the UN? I think you know what their answer is. EU reform treaty passes last test, that's from the BBC. Former spy killed outside Putin's office. That's from news.com.au out of Australia. German High Court outlaws electronic voting. That's positive news by way of scoop out of New Zealand. And House resolution designates Venezuela as a state sponsor of terrorism. That's from the Baltimore Chronicle. The last update to this geopolitics posting, rendition, selections, false flags, and war games. You can't make this stuff up. It's irony on a base level, like Bill Hicks says, but you can get a hoot out of it. It's a hoot. From the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, Israel proposes work camps for illegal migrants. The Israeli government is considering establishing work camps in the south of the country where illegal migrant workers will receive shelter, food, and medical care, Army Radio Israel reported last Wednesday. In exchange, illegal migrants would perform manual labor outside the camps but wouldn't earn a salary. "I fear how far we have fallen," said M.K. Dove Kenan Hadash in reaction to the work camp proposal, adding that he thinks the plan would encourage many more asylum seekers to try to enter Israel. Israel proposes work camps for illegals. Let's quickly jump to Michael Moore, the director of the expose on 9/11, Fahrenheit 9/11, where he has a recent interview with Larry King, and he does actually call on Obama to withdraw from Afghanistan.
Let's touch another base here, Michael, while we have you. Let's talk about Afghanistan. You're very critical in Fahrenheit 9/11 over Bush and Iraq. Are you equally critical over Obama and Afghanistan?
Well, I think, look, he's in the process of making his decision right now. I think it's impressive that he's a thoughtful man. It's great to have a smart person in the White House who really thinks about the cost of human life before making a big decision like this. It is my sincere hope that he decides to wind down and end this war, at least our part of this war, in Afghanistan. Initially, the idea of going and trying to capture the criminals who committed a mass murder on 9/11, that was a good idea, but we never did that. And I hope he still has something that does that, but I don't know if that's in Afghanistan. When there's now less than 100 al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, and we've got 100,000 coalition troops and another 200,000 Afghan troops. I mean, we need to leave. This is not our business. And that yesterday, Larry, that story in the New York Times about how the brother of the president of Afghanistan, the brother of Karzai, is suspected of being involved in the opium trade, which funds the Taliban, and our CIA pays this man. So we're paying the guy who's helping to create the money that's funding the Taliban, that's killing our soldiers. Are we like an insane country? When is this going to stop? I want this ended. I want these troops home.
Didn't he kind of run on a campaign to bring troops home from just about everywhere, and that he has kind of been accused of dawdling?
Dawdling, that's a good word for it. But Michael Moore, man, he was pretty right on there, man. Maybe he should make a documentary about how the current war of terror is still based on the lies of 9/11. We do throw a link to whatreallyhappened.com where they have some questions for Michael Moore related to 9/11. As again, we'll note that Michael Moore's agent is a guy named Ari Emanuel. He would be the brother of the president's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel. They are the sons of Israeli terrorists. They want to bring national service and make you a part of the civilian national security force. But I digress, because we got more to hit here on the Afghan surge. One related note goes to Fox News, where they note, quoting whom I'm not sure at this moment, that Obama is basically out of excuses in delaying the Afghan surge. So they're probably saying, come on, let's get to it. More troops into the meat grinder. But here's another note, this coming from CNN, where at least one Navy wife wants the U.S. military out of Afghanistan as well.
President Obama facing more pressure to decide on the future of the war in Afghanistan and whether or not he will send more Americans to the fight. Here joining us with very unique perspectives are two people with a lot at stake in this decision. Karen Irwin is in Delta, Ohio. Her son Mike is 24. He's on his second tour in Afghanistan. He's been there since January. And her other son James, by the way, is also in the military. He's just not on the front lines right now. And she supports sending more troops to Afghanistan. Also joining us, Lisa Light is in Little Rock, Arkansas. Her husband is an F-18 pilot. pilot with the Navy flying missions over Afghanistan, and she is against sending more troops. And Lisa, let me start with you. It's great to have both of you with us. I want to talk about your husband first. This will be his third deployment in 3 years. As the president considers his options for Afghanistan, if you had the chance to speak directly to our commander-in-chief, what would you say about what you think about sending more troops there?
Well, thank you for having me. I believe that we shouldn't send additional troops to Afghanistan. In fact, I think we should pull out of Afghanistan entirely. I think that after 8 years of war, it's become quite clear that, especially to those of us who are the very few Americans who are really suffering in this war, that the price is not worth it. A number of Americans have lost their lives. Many military families are being completely crushed by the burden of these wars. And we have very little to show for it. We have a corrupt Afghanistan government. We have a number of people who are still trying to attack us, particularly not because they belong to the Taliban or terrorist organizations, but rather because we are occupying them.
That's at least one military wife supporting the end of the wars of aggression that continue to go on to this day under the new change administration, where the only change is jangling around in your pocket. And remember, these things are all predicated on 9/11, right? All these things were for the terrorists. Let's jump to the Washington Post. This has its own posting on MediaMonarchy.com, where the FBI says 400,000 people are on the watch list, with 1,600 names suggested a day. Newly released FBI data offers evidence of the broad scope and complexity of the nation's terrorist watch list, documenting a daily flood of names nominated for inclusion to the controversial list. During a 12-month period ending in March of this year, for example, the U.S. intelligence community suggested on a daily basis that 1,600 people qualified for the list because they presented a, quote, reasonable suspicion. This, according to data provided to the Senate Judiciary Committee by the FBI in September and made public last week, with links to the PDFs of the questions and then the information, all linked up for you, thanks to Secrecy News. But continuing the Washington Post report, FBI officials cautioned that each nomination does not necessarily represent a new individual, but may instead involve an alias or name variant for a previously watchlisted person. The ever-churning list is said to contain more than 400,000 unique names and over 1 million entries. The committee was told that over that same period, officials asked each day that 600 names be removed and 4,800 records be modified. Fewer than 5% of the people on the list are U.S. citizens or legal permanent residents. Whew. 9% of those on the terrorism list, the FBI said, are also on the government's no-fly list. Which, as we've noted, the terahertz body scanners in the airports wrecking DNA this upcoming holiday travel season. It'll be interesting to see how many stories come out about the no-fly list. Lastly, this information and more about the FBI's wide-ranging efforts against terrorists came in answers from FBI Director Robert Mueller to the Senate Judiciary Committee's members' questions. The answers were first made public last week in Stephen Aftergood's Secrecy News, and you can hit that up on FAS.org. 400,000 people on the watch list. It's now time for the latest Econo Crash headlines. Much like we're celebrating year one of Obamasiah, the new financial world order is now over a year old. And just like we saw the New York City Coalition for Accountability Now and their ballot initiative that was going to make it to New York ballots this last Tuesday was stopped, if you'll recall, about a week before by Judge Lerner. who I believe was also the guy who, in testimony, when someone mentioned Building 7, said, "What's that?" Representative Ron Paul's bill to audit the Fed has been gutted in committee. This coming from Reason.org and sourcing a WorldNet Daily story reporting that the bill, sponsored by Representative Ron Paul, Republican from Texas, that would call for an audit of the Federal Reserve has been quote-unquote gutted in a congressional committee. That legislation, H.R. 1207, would also close loopholes that prevent transparency of Fed actions. It currently has over 300 co-sponsors in the House. In a telephone interview with Bloomberg, Ron Paul said that the bill had been stripped of measures closing loopholes that protect the Fed and blamed Representative Melvin Watt, a Democrat from North Carolina, chairman of the House Financial Services Committee Subcommittee on Domestic Monetary Policy and Technology, for ripping the teeth out of H.R. 1207. Watt has significant ties to the banking industry and received the largest share of his 2008 campaign contributions, over one-third of his total contributions for the cycle, from the finance, insurance, and real estate industry. Watt's four largest contributors were Bank of America, headquartered in Watt's district in Charlotte, Wachovia, American Express, and the American Bankers Association. Ron Paul vowed to try to restore the gutted provisions of the bill through an amendment when it comes to the House floor for a vote. More from Washington's blog on the gutting of the audit the Fed bill. However, Forbes.com posted an opinion piece written by Ron Paul. This is actually dated October 29th, where he notes that we should be prepared for the worst. And to put it simply, that the large-scale government intervention in the economy is going to end badly. So regardless of whether it's the states taking over the corporations or the corporations taking over the states, it's ultimately the same end. CIT files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. That from the Associated Press. Last Friday, 9 more U.S. banks fail, and they hit the FDIC hard for $2.5 billion. The insurance on that deposit is getting thinner by the moment, as we're here at another FDIC Friday. Government issues record $87 million fine to British Petroleum, otherwise known as BP. That goes to CNN. Economics chair at George Mason University notes that politicians aren't prostitutes. They're pimps. And quickly, let's note, by way of a press release from author and investigative journalist Daniel Estelin, author of The Bilderberg Group, published by Oregon's Trinday Books, points out that the G20 meeting that's taking place today, November 6th, and tomorrow, November 7th, in Scotland, all his inside information essentially says they're getting together to figure out how to dump the U.S. dollar. That's what they talked about at the G20 in Pittsburgh. It's essentially power grabs. It's essentially one world currencies. It's about dumping the dollar. It's about pulling the rug out from the United States. But again, it's not really us. We got hijacked a long time ago. The plan is just sort of playing out now. In a way, it's all way more complicated than I glibly stated on the show, but then in another way, it's not. You don't think that power mad, multi-generational serial killers have conspired to hoard wealth and resources for themselves throughout history? And if you don't want to get involved, something is going to fill the void. More on this G20 meeting in Scotland from InfoWars. Again, are they finalizing the dumping of the U.S. dollar? Existentialist Cowboy goes into how foreign lobbies and the elites bought us. But our last clip here, again, they pop up. How Goldman Sachs secretly bet on the U.S. housing crash.
Welcome to the Real News Network. I'm Paul Jay, and joining us today is Greg Gordon. He's coming to us from the McClatchy offices in Washington, D.C. Thanks for joining us, Greg.
Glad to be with you.
So, Greg, you've just completed a brilliant, I think, piece of investigative journalism on Goldman Sachs and the subprime mortgage scandal. And in it, you say this. Goldman's sell-off and its clandestine wagers, completed at the brink of the housing market meltdown, enabled one of the nation's premier investment banks to pass most of its potential losses to others before a flood of mortgage loan defaults staggered the U.S. and global economies. So, Greg, what did you find out in your investigation? How and why did Goldman do this?
We were always wondering how it could be that Goldman Sachs, of all the Wall Street firms, that Goldman Sachs got out of the subprime lending business and basically took, you know, minor losses and escaped relatively intact while other Wall Street firms were melting down. So we tried to piece together the events surrounding its sales of subprime mortgage securities and related securities in 2006 and 2007 before everything kind of fell apart and unraveled in this industry. And essentially, there were two tracks going on. Goldman was buying these mortgages from some pretty high-flying lending companies, many of them out in California, and it was packaging them into securities and selling them to institutional investors. These would be pension funds, foreign banks, union health funds, and these investors were getting what they thought were AAA securities, AAA bonds that paid high yields and that would be safe. But actually, what had happened, as we all know now, is that these underlying mortgages that were backing up these bonds were not that far from junk. And when the default rates erupted, we had the meltdown that occurred in the fall of 2008.
And again, we see Goldman Sachs being a cause and effect and problem and solution to all of these events. It's all interconnected. Some of the last few updates here on the Econo crash. Profit is not satanic, Barclays says, after Goldman invokes Jesus. It's going to get a little religious here at the end, folks. This from Bloomberg. Barclays chief executive officer, that's a big British bank, John Varley, stood at the wooden lectern in the St. Martin in the Fields in London's Trafalgar Square and told the packed pews of the church that profit is not satanic. Is Christianity and banking comparable? Yes, he said in an interview after the speech. Is Christianity and fair reward compatible? Yes. Varley joins Goldman Sachs International Advisor Brian Griffiths and Lazard International Chairman Ken Costa as London banksters who've gone into London churches in recent weeks and invoked Christianity to defend a banking system that critics say has created wealth and inequality in the UK. Profit is not satanic. Perhaps that's just an update of Gordon Gekko's greed. It's good. The new world religion. Half of U.S. kids will get food stamps, study says. That's from Breitbart.com. Gold hit a record $1,100 a couple of days ago, the 4th of November. And the last update here on the Econo crash. On MediaMonarchy.com, as well as right on Google News right now, U.S. unemployment rate hits 10.2%, the highest in 26 years. And like I said, it's going to get a little biblical here at the end. As one of my friends noted in a comment on the Facebook posting of this story. Dear God, please save us from your followers. Teacher claims fingerprinting is mark of the beast. This from Threat Level, with numerous links to courthousenews.com, markbeast.com, more from Wired. A 22-year veteran kindergarten teacher in the Texas Bible Belt could lose her job for refusing, on religious grounds, to give fingerprints under a state law requiring them. The evangelical Christian, Pam McLaurin, she's fighting a looming suspension, claiming that fingerprinting amounts to the mark of the beast and is hence a violation of her First Amendment right to practice her religion. Her case is similar to a lawsuit by a group of Michigan farmers, some of them Amish, challenging rules requiring the tagging of livestock with RFID chips. Those Michigan farmers, some saying the devices are also the devil's mark. This latest case is the first in which a teacher is refusing fingerprinting on religious grounds, the woman's lawyer said. The U.S. Supreme Court has yet to decide whether the First Amendment is implicated in fingerprinting, especially at a time when states, local governments, and civic organizations are increasingly making them mandatory for anybody wanting to drive a car or coach a youth basketball team. Teacher claims fingerprinting is mark of the beast. Now, if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you probably know that I had a Christian conservative upbringing in small town West Virginia. And I had a lot of the Revelations teachings hammered into me. And what I think I've said here, but if I haven't, I'll say it again, that one of my earliest questions of all of this was that if we take the Bible literally, and as prophecy, as the word of God handed down to us, even though it may be some king's version of it, not counting the books they left out, but all that aside, if this is all written down and it's all meant to be, then aren't the leaders and followers going to make it happen on purpose? If it's meant to be, they're going to make it be. Essentially, a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whether or not you believe in any of the religions, you got to know that there are a lot of people who do, and there are also people who will use and misuse your beliefs or misbeliefs to further their own agendas. You gotta know that things are moving at a pretty rapid clip now. From all sides. Biological warfare is being waged one way or another. Swine flu, H1N1, the vaccines. The strange developments in the Ukraine and the warnings from Joseph Moshe about Baxter and bioweapons. This is all essentially biowars. It's eugenics. And it's connected to the transhumanism, the interface with machines. This new world religion of climate control, again, is eugenics. We have perpetual war for perpetual peace from a Masonic, or rather messianic, I should say, world leader. We see the police state crackdown. We see the new financial world order. If even half of what I'm saying on this show is true, you know that things are serious. And so I'm asking you to help me spread this information to folks. I'm not bunkered down thinking Armageddon's coming tomorrow. Perhaps I foolishly want to believe that ultimately truth and love and humanity are going to win out. And that the moment that they go for their big power grab is the very moment that it's going to all fall apart. I thank you guys for helping me on MediaMonarchy.com. Again, I implore you to get in touch with me. FaceSpace, TwitterTube, Yahoo, Gmail, Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org. Again, thanks to my home base of the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org, and our amazing list of affiliates. Again, new high-quality episodes available very soon. But quickly, lastly, it's creepy customers time. I track some of the visits to the website, and as I've been running a controversial alternative news blog for over 4 years now, I attract quite the interesting roster of visitors. Here's a couple quick ones from the last week. We had Florida International University out of Miami Google Mark B. Rosenberg, Mother, Concentration Camp, FIU. That's Florida International University. We noted them before, and this is why they hit the page, because they had some sort of New World Order seminar, and they called it that. Homeland Security and Border Patrol out of Springfield, Virginia. Halliburton out of Houston. Navy Network Info Center out of Jacksonville, Florida. Policy Studies Incorporated out of Denver. Amgen Incorporated out of Newbury Park, California. And finally, Boeing out of Long Beach, California. My friends, I can't do this without your help. So again, I enlist you. I thank you. This has been episode 148. It's November 6th, 2009. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, as well as FoodWorldOrder.com and CyberspaceWar.com. Once again, telling you to please get active or get radioactive. Take care.
Police would get him just the same.